Coming up on the podcast, we talked to Jason Buttrell about what is going on with the Flynn investigation. And there is so much going on here. It's been an amazing thing to unravel. You can actually get the big special from Glenn tonight. Glenn will reveal the case against General Flynn and how it exposes really everything that we've had questions about over the past couple years. Who will pay for this? That's the big thing going on tonight on blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Fight the Mob. Get $20 off. One of the wonderful programs in a lineup that includes Stu Does America immediately before that. Make sure to check out those shows back to back tonight. Also, I hear from Jim DeMint, who is he's seeing some issues with his fellow Republicans on the way they're handling these things. We go into that. And we talked to a couple of women who decided to look at this, everything that was going on in the world, and use their entrepreneurial skills to solve something in the marketplace that's really amazing. It's an incredible story. We get into that as well. Make sure to go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Fight the Mob is a code to save your $20, and subscribe and rate this podcast as well.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I am just stunned by the revelations in the Mary Trump book. Oh. I'm stunned by this bombshell book. I'm hearing NPR and the New York Times report on it. This bombshell of a book. I can't find the bombshell in it. Maybe there is something, but I would think that they would lead with the bombshell. First of all, Trump apparently was a victim of child abuse at the hands of his father.
Okay.
Probably. I mean, that would make sense to me.
Although the president says no, he was a loving father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Why
so
probably?
Why because I think that there was something. Because I think my feeling is that something stunted his growth. Something tragic stunted his growth in his younger years. And a cruel, abusive, or negligent father would
do that.
You know, could do that. But anyway, that even if it's...
Okay, Dr. Beck, I know you are a doctor and everything, but it's an interesting assessment.
I am. I am a doctor.
I know,
yes.
You are, of humanities.
I have... Yeah, so... Which means
you can detect any illness of any part of the body, I think, in humans.
Foot doctor, lung cancer, I can do it all. Anyway, so that makes him a sympathetic character. If he had suffered abuses from his father, that is a sympathetic character. So there's no bombshell there for me. Then, neglected by his workaholic father. That doesn't surprise me. She also alleges that Donald Trump paid a friend to take his SATs for him in school in order to attend the University of Pennsylvania for the Wharton School of Business. Well, she was 16 when he was in college, so I'm not sure that she, you know, had her sleuthing degree at that point. She offers no evidence. She just says, you know, the family always said. Well, the family says a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? My family says a lot of stuff. That doesn't make it true. She said she has no problem calling Donald a narcissist. Who does? Who does? I mean, let's see. He meets all 9 criteria as outlined in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. But then again, we already know this. What is it? 80 or 90% of CEOs also hit that? Mm-hmm. They're saying that, you know, all CEOs are pathological or sociopaths. Well, yeah, okay, so he's a big capitalist. I could probably see that happening. It's not really a shock to anybody. And then she says this. He's alleged to drink upwards of 12 Diet Cokes a day. He sleeps very little. Does he suffer from substance abuse? A substance-induced sleep disorder?
Wow.
Caffeine?
Caffeine is a substance abuse? He has a horrible diet. He doesn't exercise, which may contribute or exacerbate his other possible disorders. Possible. And then I love this. In another section of the bombshell book, Mary reveals Donald's eldest sister, Mary Ann, now a federal judge, scoffed at his presidential run.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What a bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't even comprehend why this book would make any difference. Like, John Bolton was there in the middle of his White House, right? Like, he's there, and I can see how something that John Bolton may have seen would make some difference to Americans. Why the hell would we care what his niece thinks about him? Why the hell would we care about that? I can't even comprehend why we would care about it.
I know both of you are conveniently ignoring maybe the biggest revelation of all, that Judge Trump Barry, who is a devout Catholic, he doesn't think much of President Trump's evangelical friends.
I mean, she
now. How do you feel about his presidency?
Wow! Wow! Wait a minute. A Catholic, a devout Catholic, doesn't think much of his evangelical friends.
No,
you know what? Another bombshell in the book of Glenn Beck. I'll bet you some of his evangelical friends don't think much about his brother or
sister,
nephew or
sister,
whatever, sister's Catholic friends. Bombshell.
People really think that way? I guess maybe they do, but it's still like, again, who cares? Like, she
cares.
The big issue with Trump when he was first talking about running and he mentioned his sister as a Supreme Court justice, our issue with that was she's very liberal, right? So why of course he doesn't like his conservative evangelical friends. Of course she doesn't.
This is just inane.
This is a money grab, really, right? I mean, like she has inside information. She's wanting to exploit that in the middle of an election to grab a bunch of cash because she doesn't like him and they haven't gotten along in a long, long time. Like, this is just plainly a money grab.
They haven't gotten along because she blames Donald Trump on changing her point of view about her dad. And she said something nasty to her dad, which then she attributes to him really getting sick and giving up on life. Isn't her dad the alcoholic brother?
Yes, Fred.
Fred
Jr. is.
And I think Donald Trump while she says that he has no compassion and no empathy, I think I've seen him cry about his brother, which was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he feels deeply about his brother. So there's clearly something there. This is her attacking Donald Trump because she says it. I said something to my dad that I think led to, you know, his downfall, blah, blah, blah. But I was influenced by Donald Trump, my uncle. He said this and this and this. And I went to my dad and said, you know what? I think he's right. And then that led to his downfall. Well, that just sounds like you feel bad for saying something you said to your dad and you can't take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
There are so many revelations in this book, though, that it's hard to cover them all. Apparently.
Is it?
It is. It's really hard because apparently at one time when she was wearing a bikini and he was around her when she was 19 years old, he said to her, well, Mary, you are stacked. Wow. Can you even imagine that he would have said something like that? I kind of can.
I mean, you're going to your uncle's place. It's Donald Trump. That's exactly what he's going to say.
He said things that are seemingly odd about his own daughter, so I'm not shocked about it. But again, what value would this have to Americans?
Zero.
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 This is inane.
Zero.
It's just a blatant money grab here. And the fact that the media is trying to run with it as a as any sort of, again, like there's at least value in an insider inside of the administration who might have actual information about something that affects Americans. This is it's impossible. She has nothing that she can say would be at all interesting to anyone unless you are like running an anti-Donald Trump blog. Like there's no relevance.
Can I ask for your help so I don't end up hating people? Because I don't want to hate, but I'm having a hard time not hating some people. No, I just hate when. No, I just dislike what they're doing.
Right. Yes.
George Bush and this Lincoln Project is pissing me off. These guys, they don't say anything about Barack Obama and the fundamental right. transformation of America. We are fundamentally being transformed right now. And they're coming out against Donald Trump? Are you...
So,
mm-hmm. I mean, where are your priorities, man? You're not going to have a country left.
Did you say the Bush and the Lincoln Project? Or are they? I didn't even know they were tied together. Are they? I've seen some of those ads, but...
Well, I think Bush, if Bush isn't involved in the Lincoln Project, which I think he is, but if he's not involved in the Lincoln Project, all of his buddies are, and he's involved, you know, behind the scenes with all of this anti-Trump stuff. All of the Bush people are yeah. involved in this.
And many of them have already said that they're not planning to vote for Trump. They're going to vote for Biden, which is... despicable. I mean, what's
insanity.
The matter with you? Come on now. Seriously?
Insanity.
Seriously? At this juncture, when things are this serious, you're considering even voting for that guy? Yeah, come on. You're not a Republican then. You've never been a Republican, if that's the case.
No, you've been a deep state guy. Everything yep. that we said that we didn't want to believe about George Bush, I think is true. I mean, there is a coup going on against the Constitution. Forget mm-hmm. about Donald Trump. Forget about him. There is a coup against the Constitution and against America herself. And it is directed by many of the people that are involved at very high levels of the Democratic Party. What are you talking about? Really? Donald Trump is more of a threat to the country than Black Lives Matter, all of the George Soros operations, all of the things that are happening with the media? Donald Trump is a bigger threat? I don't get it.
It's bad.
I don't get it.
It's bad. Have you guys...
do you believe... Go ahead.
Have you seen the rapper? His name is Lord Jamar talking about.
I can say no.
You could say no.
You didn't have to. Go
I can say no. I know you've got rapper? All of his. I know you have every CD he's ever put out. That's.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Of course, but
I know you love Lord Jamar. You just haven't heard his latest yeah. thing on Black Lives Matter. Yeah. The guy actually right. says he's being interviewed and. He, somewhere along the way, says to the interviewer, I'm not a fan of Black Lives Matter. And the interviewer is stunned. And he says, why not? Because it's not our movement. It's George Soros and his effing boys that gave us that movement. Amazing.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a great interview if you want to take
it's true.
A
yeah,
it is true.
I do want to take a peek at that. Also, have you guys seen... Hamilton.
I tried to watch it. We got through about 4.5 minutes, I think, before I thought, too much singing.
Yeah, I was thinking
it's really good.
Yeah, I was thinking
it's really good.
We're coming up. We had a long conversation, Pat and I, yesterday, trying to think of anything that we could come up with that I'd want to watch less. And I was thinking Kitten
pressed.
Torture is where it got to, and I couldn't. I was like, no, I'd rather watch the Kitten Torture.
I will tell you, it took me a while to get into it because rap's not my thing. I yeah. know that comes as a shock to everybody listening. Rap's not my thing. And I just assumed that it would be loaded with anti-American stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of lines, but not really. I mean, they make George Washington look really good. They make the founders look good. Hamilton looks good, which I disagree with, but Hamilton looks good. Now, Black Lives Matter and all of these social justice warriors are trying to get it banned on Disney.
Right. Yeah. And I think taking off Broadway as well. I don't think the Disney thing's enough for them. I mean, I think they want it gone.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not.
It's hard not to laugh at that,
though. I mean, if this doesn't tell you, well, except they're successful in so many things.
I know,
and
but
everyone
it's
is folding. I mean, when Disney hires Colin Kaepernick to do documentaries for them, I mean, you don't think that they'd bail on this?
I am. You have to understand what I'm saying. It's. I know it's bad. However, it's also hard not to laugh at it when liberals eat their own. I mean,
that's true.
It's like this is them. This is their cherished piece of art of the past decade.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda is agreeing with the criticism. It's unreal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's agreeing with it.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Jim DeMint is joining us now, chairman of Conservative Party Partnership Institute, and author of Saving America from Socialism, former U.S. congressman or senator, and really, truly one of the guys that was really one of the leading voices during the Tea Party movement. Welcome, Jim DeMint. How are you, sir?
Hey, Glenn, it's been too long. Thanks for all you're doing to save our country and to keep the ideas that work here in America out in front of folks. So hope to see you soon.
So, Jim, let me ask you, where are your colleagues in the Senate and the House standing up against all that is going on? This is the most amazing, well-coordinated, well-financed, easily trackable attempted coup against our nation that I have ever seen. Where are your former colleagues?
I don't know, Glenn, and I'm very disappointed. I mean, I've been critical of Republicans before for not standing up. You mentioned the Tea Party. For the most part, the Republican Party just gave a big stiff arm to all those Americans who just wanted responsible government and the government not invading their lives. But, I mean, there are Republicans around the country. Some of the Republican governors are really pushing back and standing strong, but they're getting so much grief. And I think that's why Republicans in the House and the Senate are just hiding under their desk, is because they don't feel like anybody's got their back, but they do. Everybody I'm talking to around the country is saying what you're saying, Glenn, is why aren't Republicans standing up? Why aren't they getting Trump's back when he's trying to push back against this leftist agenda? As you said, is it very clearly trackable back to the big money and the socialists in our country who really want to create chaos so it will drive people into the arms of government.
Jim, any doubt in your mind that the things that we talked about back in 2008-09, the fundamental transformation, the Marxist revolutionary impact, that all of this is happening right now?
There's no question, and that's why there's an urgency in my mind and heart to talk about saving America. I've been warning about it. You've been warning about it for over 10 years. And now, if you want to see what socialism looks like, just look what's happening under the guise of this coronavirus, where the government is telling us what businesses can be open, if we can go to church, who we can meet with, whether you can go to school. And Americans have taken this largely, I think, out of just being citizens. They've kind of intimidated us into being responsible. But I think more and more people are starting to see through it that this is just being used as a political ploy and largely to try to take down Trump and take down our way of life. So it's just time for us to stand up. I think we're going to see more Republicans who stand up. I know some of them are in Washington, but the cameras don't find them, Glenn. When a Mike Lee or somebody or Jim Jordan pushes back, they're generally hidden in the media. So we've just got to figure out ways to make more noise. And you're one of the few people who actually does the research to track it back, to show Americans that there's no mystery here. This is not spontaneous rioting. This is something that's been planned and coordinated, and they just wait for some kind of trigger to come after us. And as I point out in Saving America from Socialism, is all these crises are used by the tyrants, by the socialists, by the big government people to try to drive Americans into the arms of a bigger and bigger government.
I mean, it's amazing. Can you imagine, Jim, if the Tea Party would have had a quarter of the support that Black Lives Matter and these radical Antifa even has, a quarter of that support, what could have happened? We had the media, the government, everybody, even the GOP against us, tearing us apart, and we still made an impact. I can't even... The impact on what is happening with just our statues, with the way everyone is reacting right now, is going to last possibly forever. It is going to change the nation.
Well, Glenn, as you know, that it's just part of the history of Marxist, of socialist, of tyrants to destroy history. And our schools certainly haven't taught it. Now people growing up thinking America is evil and racist. And Glenn, I can tell you, I've lived a long time, but there is no intentional systematic racism left in America except in the Democrat Party that they use as a strategy to get themselves elected. But if we want to solve our problems, we've got to stop blaming it on things that aren't the real cause of our problems. So that's what I'm trying to do now with this book and other ways of speaking. I know that's what you're doing, is if people don't understand how America works and why it's so wonderful, and if they don't understand the threats that are all around us, then they're not going to stand up and fight. They're just going to go like sheep to the slaughter, like we see some of our Republicans doing in Washington now. But I'm just trying to issue another wake-up call. You issue a wake-up call every day. But hopefully our voices will combine with a lot of others and we'll get Americans to stand up as they always have to fight for their freedoms and their way of life.
So if they haven't stood up yet, what is it going to take? It frightens me. What is it going to take to get people to stand up? But what is the solution? How do you stand up, Jim? What is the target? Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It is, and it's one of the things I write about. Man, if you think it's going to take a majority to change things, then we're never going to act. It's every individual can make a difference. We all have to go out, whether it's at work or school or whatever, and begin to speak up. A lot of us are intimidated. I mean, I see it all around me. People want to say this is crazy. I mean, they're looking at things that are absurd, and they're afraid to say it's absurd, because they're going to get pounded either directly or through social media. But people have to have courage. We generally get the government we deserve. And so we've got to stir up people, and they've got to realize that we've got to stop looking to Washington. There's so many solutions, education choice, other things that are happening at the state level that we have to just keep pushing. There's more chance of doing something good at the state level right now than in Washington.
Yeah.
So, but we can't give up. That's the whole last part of the book is the plan. We've got to understand that we're a republic. We're not a national democracy. We've got to keep power as much as we can at the state level. We've got to get states to push back against the federal government. We're seeing a little of that with the COVID thing. But now we get a clear choice. Florida handles it one way and New York another. And you can see which philosophies work. But let's don't give up, Glenn. I think America needs cheerleaders as well as philosophers. But I believe that we're going to come out better, even though I know we're sitting on a tipping point here as well as a powder keg. But Trump in his own way has been very good for America, just kind of kicking down the doors in Washington, going after the swamp, you know, calling things for what they really are, and they're trying to take him down. And so this election is even more important than the last one, and we've just got to sound the alarm that now's the time for America to stand up.
what should Trump and the Senate be doing right now in the House? I mean, we are a nation or a people that believes in fairness. We believe in justice, but we also believe in law and order. And when you have so many mayors and so many governors just hanging their own people, what should he do? Because they'll paint him as a monster if he goes in and does anything, but he's not going to win if he doesn't seem like he is standing up to this and he is weak.
Yeah, he's been a little off of his game just because he deferred to doctors on this coronavirus, even though I think he's got the right instincts. And he started pushing back. This week he said, we've got to get back to school. And some of his doctors had said no, but he does get pounded every time he does anything. Even his speech at Mount Rushmore, which was really a great speech, was just completely vilified in the media. So it's hard for me to say what he can do, but he does have a platform that a lot of the rest of us don't have. And I know he's got some people around him that are really good, like Mark Meadows now and some others. And that's what we're trying to do, is just come around these folks and just get Trump to speak out, to tell the truth, because people are whispering now, but they long for somebody to get up and tell the truth.
They do. They do. The name of the book is Saving America from Socialism. Saving America from Socialism. Jim DeMint, he's been a very strong voice for a very long time. Jim, just a personal question. Have you had a hard time with the realization that you were right? You with me, Jim?
Yeah. With the realization of what? I missed the last part of that.
That you were right. I've had a hard time. I didn't want to be right. And it's when it's happening now, I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, I don't know. I got to be wrong still. I mean, no, it can't be happening. Are you having a hard time looking at things and going, geez?
I am, Glenn, because it's so illogical. It's so absurd. I mean, it's if people only just knew a little bit, they would not sit still for a minute for some of the things that happen. I mean, I can't believe people elect like Governor Cuomo in New York. I mean, people in New York are not stupid, but they keep electing people that are destroying their cities all around the country. So, yeah, no, I'm upset. It's hard for me to accept things that are completely illogical. That's why it was hard for me to serve in the House and the Senate. But I think we just have to tell the truth. People are just desperate. I mean, actually, I'm working on a book right now that just says they're lying to you, whether it's climate change or America's racist or whatever. I just want to put it all out there and just go out and defend what is the real truth. And who knows how many people will listen. But I got to tell you, you were one of the first when the chalkboard way back in your Fox days, when you were telling us things that were happening in the financing and follow the money that no one seems to want to listen to because it's so crazy it couldn't be true. But unfortunately, it is. But we can't give up. America has always done things that were impossible, like beat the British. And that's the spirit we're calling on right now, is we've got Trump. He'll stand up and fight anybody, but he needs a few people to walk out there with him.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it. Jim DeMint, the name of the book is Saving America from Socialism. It came out yesterday. Always a pleasure to have you on. This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Tell you about two other people that I met just recently, and I've never ever done this before, but I was onboarding new clients, And it's temp and toss, and it's a thing that you put on your kid's forehead, you can take your infant child's temperature really, really easy, and it's a really good product. And so I was talking to him, but I just fell in love with the two women who are just these two moms that are entrepreneurs from Ohio that saw an opportunity to do something because they were moms with, you know, kids, and they knew about taking temperatures and what a pain in the neck it is. And they started this company, and now with COVID, they have just exploded, and they're doing something really, really good for the rest of the nation. And I really liked them, so I asked them to join me. Are they on Skype? Do we have them? It's April Pollock and Shelley Heller. How are you guys?
Good.
Great. How are you?
Good. I love the fact that you're just in your car and the two of you. So tell me about how what you guys are doing and why you got involved in this.
Good. Well, we started in 2015. We had an idea for a paper forehead thermometer that came about, honestly, because a local manufacturer here in Dayton had millions of thermometer strips they were trying to get rid of. They'd previously sold them to hospitals. And we could just kind of look at each other and say, well, why don't you retail them for moms? That would be perfect to throw in a diaper bag. And they said, that's a great idea. You do it. We don't want to. And
here we are.
So that's how it started.
Yeah, it just started from a women-owned business event, and we just went with it. You know how sometimes you get ideas and you think, I don't want to do that, or I don't know what it was, but we just did it. So, and now we're here, and we've grown 1,300% since March.
That is, I don't know how you have done that, you now have hospitals that are clamoring for these because you can't trust some of the things coming out of China. You guys were telling me that there was a problem with one hospital. You don't have to get into the details, but a problem with a hospital that got a bunch of thermometers from China and they were defective.
Yeah, our thermometer should be used for people that are entering the hospital. So they were doing some testing for letting people into the emergency room and into the hospital and things like that. And they kept going through a million batteries, or it would read three different ways on the same person. And, you know, it got to be more of a hassle than not. So they called us, and, you know, we're in line to hopefully be hired by them to provide our thermometers to them, because it's so easy. You just put them on your forehead and they'll read continuously for 48 hours. So
I have to tell you, when you guys first talked to me about coming on the show, I went to my wife and my daughter, who has two young children. And they knew of your product, and they were like, are you kidding me? It is the easiest. It is the best. And being a dad, I couldn't relate to it, but boy, they just love your product. And what you're talking about now is not just something for your child's forehead, but for businesses. We're getting ready to open up our business in Texas and have everybody come back in. How do you check everybody's temperature? And like you said, some of these forehead thermometers will give you three different readings. You'll hit it, and then you hit it again, you hit it again, and it's three different readings. You guys did a study and showed that yours is the most consistent out of all of the readings. And you can come in, and instead of having somebody do it, you just peel one of these off and stick it on your forehead, and it'll stay there.
We had to pivot because a lot of manufacturers were wanting more bulk quantities. And so we have, we made a roll of 3,000 and a roll of 5,000 in a dispenser that you could just sit in the, at the front of your entrance of your building, peel them off and put them on your head, check people's temperature. I mean, we do it here at our day jobs. I mean, April has a day job and I have a day job, and this was just kind of going to be a side hustle, but then kind of turned out something else. But now we've been able to then sell these in bulk to major corporations, to automotive, to the service industry and things of that nature. It's been pretty successful so far. And consistency, yes, absolutely. Our test that we did was, oh, shoot, we did 8 to 10 different kinds of thermometers. And ours came up the most consistent. So we're supposed to get that data today, actually, to see how we did pan out.
And you have some major corporations that have now become clients that they are doing these tests. Can you talk about those?
Absolutely. So when the pandemic first started in March, we had large corporations such as GM, Ford, Huntington Bank, Home Depot, Cintas,
Granger.
We're in the Granger catalog. We sold to CDC Border Control and the FDA. So all of those customers wanted the bulk offering. So we had to pivot in March and offer a Mylar-based thermometer to help meet that Mylar demand, which is what helped us come up with our forehead thermometer dispenser roll of the 3,000 and 5,000. So now that we have that, we're pulling back on the Mylar a bit. The Mylar does not have adhesive. So we have sold, I mean, we sold millions in March and April. It just exploded.
Well, I am just so happy that it's two moms, two business women in Ohio that are changing the way we're taking our temperature and helping so many big corporations and small companies like mine stay healthy. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we just say one more thing?
Real quick.
That we're going to...
disabilities.
Oh yes, we have people with disabilities who do the assembly for all of our products, and then also we are going to be giving a percentage of our Glenn Beck sales to a facility called Bridget's Path, which takes in dependent addicted babies and tries to keep them with their families. So we're well behind that, and hoping that people on the page do that, donate.
Thank you, guys. It's Temp and Toss. This has not been a commercial. It's tempandtoss.com. You can find out more about it, and we'll talk again. Thank you, ladies, for being on.